All right, they're both side. Good morning, good morning, good morning, a good chodesh. So first of all, I want to say a mazel tov to all of us for being assigned Maseches Zvachim. What a beautiful 120-day journey it was. And now today we have the great zchus to go ahead and begin Maseches Menachos. A welcome back, Baruch Hashem, to everyone. There's a very short bein hazmanim, you know, between yesterday afternoon and this morning. So, Baruch Hashem, we are back. And welcome back to those who are back. I see some new faces. I look forward to getting to know you. Emir Tzashem, I'll just begin, as I have done with the Maseches Menachos, with a beautiful vart that has nothing to do with Maseches Menachos, but has everything to do with Mincha. So the Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev, he asks a very interesting question. He says, why is it that Mincha is called Mincha? He says, I understand Shachris is called Shachris because you daven it in the morning, and Ma'ariv is called Ma'ariv because you daven it at night. But what's Mincha? What's Mincha? Why is Mincha called Mincha? So you could kind of know that it's related to the Karban Mincha, although again, we're going to discuss timing for Menachos and everything, but what's the Pshat? So the Rebbe said something so beautiful. He said that to daven Shachris and Ma'ariv is intuitive. I wake up in the morning, there's a whole day ahead of me filled with incredible uncertainty. I have to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam. Meaning, I need it. I recognize, as soon as I open my eyes and I say, Moda Ani, I recognize one thing, which is that the coming day is filled with incredible uncertainties. I do not know Ma Yavo Yom. And as such, I need a Kodesh Baruch Hu in my life. I have to daven Shachris. When I go to sleep, or when it's nighttime, so nighttime itself is filled with incredible uncertainty. But even more than that, when I go to sleep, this Chazal tells us sleep is 1/60th of death. I give my neshama back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, filled with incredible uncertainty. I do not know what is going to be. And therefore, I have to daven Ma'ariv. But says the Rebbe, do I have to daven in the middle of the day? Do I have to daven Mincha? Not really. In other words, I'm covered by Shachris and Ma'ariv. So what's the pshat with Mincha? So he says, Mincha means an offering. An offering. When I daven in the middle of the day, I'm saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you know what? I don't have to daven now. I don't have to do it. But I'm offering you something up. A mincha doesn't just mean like a meal offering, like we're going to discuss. But a mincha also means a gift. I daven in the middle of the day, says the Rebbe, as a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need anything new. Whatever I needed for, I already asked you for in the morning. Whatever I'm going to need, I'm going to ask you for in the evening. But I'm davening again. Why? Why? Because I can. Because I can. Because I want to connect with you. Because I yearn for a dveikus. I yearn for a sense of connection. That's why I'm davening. Says the Rebbe, that's why the midday prayer is called a mincha. It's a gift. It's connection for the sake of connection. It's connection because I have such a yearning, such a pining to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam. Mosai, it's a gift. And I thought to myself, we're beginning Maseches Menachos. And I will say, the truth is, there's only one reason you learn Maseches Menachos. And it's the same reason that you learn Maseches Zvachim, which is that you love the Ribono Shel Olam so much. It's kind of like the same way. Why do people go on family vacations? Right? No one ever goes on family vacations. I really need to relax and rejuvenate. Let me take away my whole mishpacha with me, right? And spend 2 weeks together with people who I love so much. And I am sure when I come, no one does that. Why do you do that? You do that because you love your mishpacha. You do that because you love them. And when you love someone, you do things, even though I'd rather personally be doing something else. I'd rather be elsewhere. I'd rather be doing... But when you love someone, when you love something, you give yourself to them, even in ways that perhaps would not be the lachatchila for you. Boss, we're in the middle of difficult masechtas. These are difficult masechtas. You know, what we wouldn't give for a brachas. Oh, a brachas, right? What I wouldn't give for a tilas ha-shachar, what I wouldn't give for Shabbos, even Yevamis is looking good these days, right? Right? What I wouldn't do for those like more yeshivish masechtas that I could relate to a little bit more, there's a bit more halacha l'maisa. But I will say, this is mincha. This is mincha. You learn these masechtas that were so many years, besides for the briskers, were neglected mesechtas. They were neglected mesechtas. Right? No one was learning them. The Lublina Rav said that there are mesechtas in Shas that are orphan mesechtas. Nobody's learning them. And there's still the Ribono Shel Olam's Torah. So Menachos, you know how many generations Menachos was neglected? Because at the end of the day, without a Beis HaMikdash, a lot of the information contained in here is not so relevant or pertinent to our day-to-day lives. But I will say, but we're coming back, and we're sweeping up the Yisomim. We're going at it, we're taking the orphan mesechtas, and we're learning them. And the truth is, I'd rather be learning something else. I'd rather be involved in something else, because it's not the most riveting, as much as it's going to be riveting for us. But for other people, it's not the most riveting mesechtas. We'll say, but we do it, why? Because I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're beginning Mesechas Menachos, and it's a mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribon Shel Olam, I'm here, and I'm learning your Menachas for one simple reason. Because I love you. I don't have to. I could fulfill my obligation in Talmud Torah with other more pertinent, interesting, or riveting chalakim of Torah. But someone has to learn your Mesechas Menachos. Someone has to show you that they love all parts of your Torah. Not just the Arachayim parts, not just the Yamim Tovim parts, not just the Kashrus parts. Someone loves all parts of your Torah. It's the Mincha, Rabosai. It's the learning for the sake of connection. It's the learning for the sake of Dveikus. And that is the sacred task we have in front of us today. So, there are going to be parts of the Masechta that you're going to say to yourself, oh my gosh, you're going to be looking every day to the, how many blot is this again? What is this? You know, I will say, but understand that every single time you show up and every single time you learn the blot of Gemara from a Masechta that has been neglected for so long, you're saying, Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm here for one reason and one reason only. And it's not because I'm getting smicha and menachas. And it's not because I plan on being the chief dayan in the third base on Megdash. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I love you. And when you love someone, sometimes you do things, even though for me, I'd rather be doing something else. But if it's important to you, it's important to me. If it's important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Mesechas Menachos, then it's important for us to learn it. So both say, this is Mamish, the Mincha Gedola. We're doing it not because we have to. Not because we have to. There are other things we can do. But we're doing it because we can, for the sake of connection. And with that, Rabbi said, we have to say, Ashrinu matov chalkinu. How fortunate we are, shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyonu lazman hazeh, that we're going to get to learn Mesechas Menachos together. That, like we said by Zevachim, we're going to get to live in the Beis HaMikdash again. We wait every single day for the Bayis Shlishi. It's not yet here, but even though it's not yet here, we get to go ahead and live inside the Beis HaMikdash by learning the halachos pertinent to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say it's a great tzchus, Emir Tz Hashem, to begin this journey with you. And halavai, a lot could happen over the next 100-plus days of Menachos. We're starting this Masechta, Emir Tz Hashem, here. In our humble shul in Baltimore, but we should be Zocha Mir Tzashen to be Messiah it in a beautiful Bayis Shlishi in a rebuilt Yerushalayim. Amen. And I will say with that, let's begin. Kol HaMenachos. I will say now, amazingly enough, what you will see, by the way, after spending so much time in Zvachim, so we'll say we begin to pick up certain principles, and you're going to see that in fact the opening of Mesechas Menachos very much mirrors the opening of Mesechas Zvachim. So therefore, says the Mishnah, Kala Menachos Shenikmatzu Shlo B'Sheman Ksheros. Any Mincha where Kemitza was done Shlo B'Sheman. So we'll say very quickly, so we know all these terms already. So Kemitza refers to the idea that when it comes to a Karban Mincha, only a very small part is offered up on the Mizbeach. The Kohen does Kemitza, takes his middle three fingers. We saw already a Machlokes back in Yuma. We're going to discuss in more Menachos about how Kemitza was done. Was it done fingers down, or was it done fingers up? Right? We'll get into that later on, but Lamaisa, you have a Karban Mincha and the Kemitza was done, Shelo Lishman. Look at Tap Rashi. Shelo Lishman ki goshes nadev minchas marchashes, v'yeviyah v'kamtza koin v'amah hareini komis l'shem machvas. So I'll say, we're not going to get into this today, but we're going to make references to the various types of menachos which were offered. There's a minchas marchashas, there's a minchas machavas, where the mincha was prepared in different ways. So the classic case of shelo lishman means, I pledged what's called a minchas marchashas, for example, and the kohen does the kemitza l'shem machavas. So what's the halacha? Ksheros. The mincha is kasher, but there's a caveat, which is ella shelo alu lebailin l'shem chova. But ultimately, again, it does not count towards the obligation of the owner. So we'll say very reminiscent of zvachim. Where so again, if I offer up the mincha shelo lishman, the mincha is a valid offering. But if I'm offering it up to satisfy my own personal obligation, the fact that it was offered up shel v'shema means the mincha's kasher, but it doesn't satisfy my obligation, which means what? Which means what? That I would have to bring another carbon mincha in order to satisfy my personal obligation. Chutz mi'minchas chote mincha's kinos. We'll say with two exceptions. The two exceptions ultimately again are a mincha's chote. So ultimately again, if I am bringing a mincha as a sin offering, now we'll discuss ultimately when a mincha is brought as a sin offering, because usually a sin offering is a chatas or an asham, which are animal offerings. There are circumstances where usually because of poverty, a person could go ahead and bring a meal offering as a sin offering. So if you offered up a minchas chote, shelo lishman, so we'll say ultimately the mincha is pasul. The mincha is totally invalid and has to be redone all over again. The other example of this is minchas knos, which is the mincha of a sota. The mincha of a sota, woman suspected of adultery, entire process, she's brought to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a korban mincha that is brought. If either of these two menachos was offered up shelo lishma, not only does it not discharge the obligation of the owner, but the mincha itself is fundamentally invalid. Why that distinction, we'll see in the Gemara. Minchas chote and minchas kenos. So basically now the Mishnah chooses to go on and expound on minchas chote and minchas kenos. So minchas chote, minchas kenos, shakamtsan shelo lishma. So if you have a minchas chote, which Jebosa is a mincha that is brought as a sin offering, or minchas knos, which is the mincha of the sota. Shekamtsan shelo lishman, you went and you did kamitza shelo lishman. In other words, remember again, shelo lishman means what? Means what? I did it for mincha, just the wrong mincha, the kohen. Remember, this is a problem with the kohen. This is a problem with the kohen, the kohanim. Right? Because remember, as a Yisrael, I have nothing to do with the kamitza. I don't do kamitza. The issue over here is the Kohen invalidated my mincha by going ahead and having in mind for the wrong type of meal offering. So minchas chote, minchas kenosh, shekamtan shalom lishman. So what are examples of that? Nasan b'kli, v'halach v'kter shalom lishman. So for example, let's say again, he put the kamitza in a kli, and he did holacha and haktara shalom lishman. So either he transported the kamitza, or he went ahead and put it on the mizbeach shalom lishman. Not for the right purpose. We'll say these are all examples of where the mincha will become invalid. And here's another interesting case. O lishman u'shalo lishman. O shalo lishman u'lishman psulos. Now, we'll say by these, now remember again, we have two different categories. In general, what is the halacha? If you offer up the kamitza of a mincha shalo lishman, what's the general halacha? Mincha is kasher, but what? Doesn't satisfy the obligation of the owners. The exception to that rule is minchas chote, minchas kenos, a chatas mincha, and ultimately again a sota mincha. Those, if you do anything shelo lishman, those are wholesale invalidated. They're just simply pasul. Now the Mishnah is introducing to me a new example, which is the case of lishman and shelo lishman, or shelo lishman and lishman, which effectively are cases where what? You have multiple levels of das. There's a time, so let's see. So the Gemara says, if the Mishnah says, excuse me, if you offer up, now again, remember, this is still a reference to the Minchas Chote and the Minchas Sot, the Minchas Kenos. Two specific cases. If you had in mind Lishman or Shalov Lishman, Shalov Lishman or Lishman, Psulos. It's a case, and what's the case? Here we go. Case of Lishman for Shalov Lishman. I'll say, what's an example of a case of Lishman and Shalov Lishman? For example, Lishem Minchas Chote or Lishem Minchas Nedava. So, for example, I will say, let's say I'm offering up a minchas chote, right? A mincha that is being offered up as a sin offering. And I begin the process with the right das. And then at some point in time in the process, my das switches to a minchas nedava. That's an example of a case of lishman, starts out lishman, but then switches over to shelo lishman. Now, again, we're going to discuss the mechanics of this in the Gemara, how this actually plays out and what this actually looks like. But that's the case of lishman or shelo lishman. What's the next case? So, l'shem minchas davar shelo lishman v'lishman. What's the example of a case of shelo lishman v'lishman? L'shem minchas davar, will say, I have a minchas chote that I'm bringing, but I begin the process, l'shem minchas nadava, for the wrong intention, but then, l'shem minchas chote. But then I switch at some point, and I'm minchas chote. So, we'll say, so remember, In the first case, the Mishnah assumed that I just have a flawed das from beginning to end. See, if you have flawed das from beginning to end, so by general menachos, the mincha is kasher, but doesn't satisfy my obligation. By minchas kenos and minchas chote, the carbon itself, the mincha itself, is totally invalid. What the Mishnah now introduces us, what the Mishnah just introduces us, is a secondary case of what? Lishman and Shalom Lishman. Even if at some point in time of the Minchas Kenos, so the Minchas Chote, you had the right Das, but mixed in there was the wrong Lishma, the wrong Das, that also invalidates the carbon. Again, how that works, the mechanics of that, we'll see in the Mishnah. Beautiful. Moshe says the Gemara. See? It's pretty good. So far, so good. Right? Mamish flows. Nice, beautiful. And again, I pointed out, all seriousness, this is almost the mirror image of the first Mishnah Maseches Zvachim as well. So again, the beautiful part about Gemara, especially Daf Yomi, is you get into Talmudic rhythms. You begin to recognize things, begin to see things. Good, we're into this. Says the Gemara, Lamali l'misna ela, listen even though all the Bailam Shem Chova. Supposed to listen to this. Now the Gemara begins by asking a verbiage question or a syntax question. The Mishnah began by saying, Kol aminocho shenichmasu shelo l'shman ksheros ela shelo alu l'baylim. So what the Mishnah says, any mincha where the kmitza was offered up shelo l'shman is kasher, but it doesn't count for the owner. Why do you need that word but? Why do you need ela? Why don't you just say velo alu l'baylim? Why don't you say kol aminocho shenichmasu shelo l'shman lo alu l'baylim? Don't count towards the owners. Why do you need the ela? To which the Gemara says, Hakamash Malan, Lebailim Hudalo Alulushim Choba, Hamincha Gufa Ksheira. But say, what it teaches us is as follows, is that Halacha Lameisa, when you go ahead and you offer up a mincha, and you have the wrong intention, it is kasher, but it doesn't count towards the owners. In other words, supposed to say, had it just said, Kalamanacho Shenikmetsu Shalolushman, Lo Alu Lebailim, I would have thought lo alu l'baylim means what? Means what? The carbon itself is totally invalid. So instead, the Mishnah chooses to phrase it in the following way: a mincha whose kamitza was offered up shelo l'shman, what's the halacha? Ksheros ela shelo alu l'baylim. So first it says ksheros. Ksheros teaches me that what? The mincha is good. But here's the problem. If you're going to tell me the mincha is good, I would have thought about what does good mean? What does good mean? Good means even for the owners. No, not for the owners. It's a good mincha. You're a good little mincha, a tire mincha, but it does not ultimately count towards the owner's obligation. Which then leads us to another important point. Va'asra l'shanuye. And I will say, now the Mishnah adds in, is that even if you've deviated once with this mincha, you should not continue to deviate. Now look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Va'asra l'shanuye, Rashi says, ba shinoy acher. Kigon, im avar v'kamsa shlo l'shma, asr l'aseis komets b'kli shlo l'shma. We'll say now the Mishnah introduces us to another, or now the Gemara introduces to us, based on the Mishnah, another important idea, which is, just because you did one shinui does not mean you should continue to be mishana. So we'll say, here's what we have. This is actually a very important point, which is, the Mishnah tells you like this. I have a carbon mincha that I went ahead, and let's say, for example, I set aside as a minchas marcheshes, right? A particular type of mincha. I did a shinui, and the kohen did a shinui, and he offered it up the shem machavos, which is another type of mincha. So what's the halacha, Rabbi Osei? The halacha is, the mincha is what? The mincha is what? The mincha is kosher, but doesn't count towards the owner. Now the Havamina is, maybe once I was Mishana, once I already went ahead and made a Shinui, then what? Any subsequent Shinuyim don't really matter as well. To which the Gemara comes along and quotes the position of Rava that says no. Even though you were Mishana now, even though you were Mishana once, don't continue to be Mishana. To whatever degree you can now, not to whatever degree, but from this point on, even though you did one shinui, Rabbi Osei, doesn't justify further shinuyim. Once you go, you did one shinui, for the rest of this avoda, continue to go ahead and offer up the mincha as it was supposed to be offered. Or in other words, what's the chiddush of Rava? Just because you are mishana once does not mean you should continue to be mishana, but rather, again, you made one mistake, now continue, fix it, and do the carbon as it was first intended. Rabbi Osei, hear the incredible musr in this? What's the incredible musr in this? Right, sometimes people think, I made one mistake. I'm done. I'm treif. I'm an eisvarf. That's it. I'm done. It's not true. Just because you make one shinui, Rabbi Osei, doesn't mean you can't go back to what you were. Doesn't mean you can't get back on track. See, you had a minchas machvas. You made a mistake that the kamitza was offered up with shame marcheshes. Does it alter the karban? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The karban is still kosher. Doesn't count for the owner, but the karban is still kosher. Now, what's your job? Now your job is to get back on track. Just because you were mishana once, just because you deviated once, just because you made one mistake, doesn't mean you should continue to reinforce the mistakes. Go back ultimately again to what the carbon was supposed to be. Kidirava, Damarava, here we go. We saw, again, this is great because this is Chazara, right? This is Chazara from 120 days ago. So the Gemara says, V'asal shani kidirava, Damarava, Ola sheshakta shalavishma, Asr lizrok tamashloshma, because Rava says, if you shechted an ola shalodishma, you shouldn't do the zrika shalodishma. In other words, we'll say, just because you shechted shalodishma, doesn't mean you should do the rest of the sacrificial process shalodishma. Ibaisim is svara, ibaisim akra. We'll say, now where does Rava get this from? One possibility is that it's a svara, it's logic. The other possibility is that it's based on a pasik. Ibaisim is svara, we'll say, what's the svara? Second wide line, basil and olive. Ibaisim is svara. Just because you made one change doesn't mean you should continue to change. I will say, I can't tell you the incredible muster in this. Sometimes in life we mess up and we make changes in ourselves and we think, once I've messed up once, that's it. What does a further shinui matter? I will say, it's mamish, not true. Just because I'm mishana once doesn't mean that ultimately again I should be mishana going forward. That's the svara. So I did the shchita shalo lishma. Okay, that doesn't mean I should do the zriko shalo. So I can't. Doesn't mean I should do the zriko shalo lishma. Even if you messed up the shchita, you could still do the zriko correctly. Such an incredible yisod. So that's the svara. What's the pasuk? Is that it's based on a pasuk? What's the pasuk? Says Gemara Motzah Svasecha Tishmar Vasisa Kasher Nadar De Lashem Lekechen Adava. Pasuk says you shall go ahead and Motzah Svasecha Tishmar. You should honor that which you expressed with your lips. Vasisa Kasher Nadar De Lashem Lekechen Adava. And you should do as you vowed to Hashem your God on Nadava. Now, both say Nadava. Nedra, we'll say, you understand the inherent contradiction in the pasuk? We'll say, what's the inherent contradiction? See, you know what the problem is? Let's be honest, we're amongst friends. What's the problem? Is that very often we're not medayik in any pasuk in Chumash Vayikra. Why? Let's be honest, because most of us tune out for Vayikra, except when there's an occasional story, right? When it comes to karbanos, we're like, okay, I do my shtayim mikra, maybe even do an unkelus. Because, you know, when it comes to Shai Mikra for Vayikra, I'm not going to understand Rashi, I'm not going to understand Unkelus, I might as well look from and do Unkelus for Shai Mikra, like it looks good. Right? So the idea over here is we're not really Medayik in the Psukim of Vayikra. So therefore, again, but listen to this, there's an obvious kasha in the Pasuk. Motza Sasecha Tishmar, you shall go ahead and honor that which you expressed with your lips. Va'asisa kasher nadarta v'ashem elokecha, you shall do as you vow to Hashem your God, Nidava, on Nidava. What is going on over here? The pasuk's telling me that I made a neder, and then the Gemara says, the pasuk says that what? You shut off from a nedava. Which one is it? Is it a neder or a nedava? Nedava, neder, kari. So Gemara says, kari, neder, kari, nedava. The Torah is calling the same offering a neder and a nedava. How so? Here we go. El im kimashna darta asisa yehi neder. Torah is telling me as follows. It will say, the case that we're talking about over here is where a person made a neder to offer up a karban. If you went ahead and carried through on your neder, right? Then shkoyach, excellent. Im kimash nedarta sisi neder. If you promised to give a neder and you were following through with the neder, fantastic. Vim lav. But if you messed up, which means what, Rav Osai? Which means what? That at the end of the day, I meant to give a neder, but then I messed up. Says the Gemara, vim lav yehi nedava. Which means they both say the carbon still works. The carbon still works. Even if you're Mishana, the carbon still works. Now, you may have altered the carbon, which means what they both say. See, here's the chap. A neder is what type of offering? Obligatory. Remember, when I make a neder, it's an offering. So if I offer up a carbon and I'm Mishana, which means I have the wrong das, let's say I do it, I shecht it shlo l'shma. So what's the status of that carbon? It's a valid carbon, but what? It does not work to go ahead and satisfy my obligation. So halacha lemaisa again, if I brought it as a neder and then I was mishana offered up shalom lishma, so is it offered up as a neder? No. It now becomes what? and now becomes a nedava. So we'll say, so that, meaning that's what happens when you go ahead and you're offering up a karban, and you offer it up shalo lishma, so the karban works, it's an effective karban, but it does not work to satisfy my obligation. So if I made a neder to bring a karban, and then I offer up that karban shalo lishma, is it a neder offering? Is it a neder offering? No. But rather, what is it? It's a nedava. It's a gift offering. V'imlav yehin nedava. So if you offer it up in the wrong, so in other words, it works, but it doesn't satisfy my obligation. Unedava mishar lishinu yebei. Now I both say, now I'm a base, first time I'm a base. Now it's a nedava. Now I both say, when it comes to a nedava, are you permitted to go ahead and change the designation of a nedava? No. Both say, so the idea being that the Gemara's, the Rav's understanding from this pasuk is that even if you are mishana, even if you made a mistake, and you did one part of the avoda wrong, that does not give you a license to do the rest of the avoda wrong. So even if you are mishana by one aspect, ultimately again you try to get back on track for the remainder of the nidav, of the karban. So we'll say, so therefore this ends the first part of the discussion. That teaches us namely two things. Halacha lemaisa, if a karban mincha was offered up shelo lishma, what's its status? It's right, kosher, but doesn't count toward the owners. Right? So we'll say that's lesson number one. Lesson number two, that even if you made a mistake in the designation of the mincha, you're offered up shalom d'shma, just because you did one part of the avodah shalom d'shma does not give you license to perform the remainder parts of the avodah shalom d'shma as well. That's not from Rava, either based on the pasuk or based on a svara. Good, back to the Mishnah. Leimu ma'asis no kibshem. We'll say this is actually very exciting.
Amen.
Here we go. Lema mas nisin de lo kreb shimin. We'll say our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Reb Shimon. Why? What does Reb Shimon hold? Here we go. The same Reb Shimon Omer. Kala menacho shenik mitzu shal lishman ksheros. Va'alu lebailim l'shem choba. Wow. We'll say to say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Reb Shimon is an incredible understatement. Because Reb Shimon, what does Reb Shimon hold? Reb Shimon holds that any mincha where the kmitza was done shal lishman, we'll say not only is the mincha kasher, but what? But what? It counts toward the owner's obligation. And by the way, you think I know you're blown away just by that. I can see it in your eyes. It gets even better. Look at Rashi. Reb Shimon Omer kol ha-menachos afilu minchas chote. Now, both say, by the way, when Reb Shimon says kol ha-menachos, Reb Shimon literally means what? Every single mincha offering. Every single mincha offering, even if done shelo lishman, halacha lemaisa is what? Number one, halacha lemaisa is kosher and alu lebailin and satisfies the obligation of the owner. Now, where does Reb Shimon get this? Here we go. Sheina menachos domos lezvachim. He says because a mincha is very different than a regular carbon, an animal offering. How so? Shakomets machavas leshumar chashas. Because we'll say, let's say someone offered up a machavas. I'm supposed to be offering up a carbon, a minchas machavas, type of mincha. And when the Kohen does the kemitza, he has in mind for marcheshes. The truth is, Reb Shimon posits, the Kohen's das is absolutely irrelevant. Why? Because ma'aseha mochichen ala l'shem machavas. You both say, Reb Shimon advances something amazing. We're going to get into this. There are multiple types of menachos. Here's the interesting part about menachos, Reb Shimon. Every single type of mincha is performed or is prepared differently. Reb Shimon says like this, if I'm going to bring what we call the minchas machavas, and the Kohen, when he does the kemitza, has in mind for marcheshes, that das is irrelevant, because you know what trumps that das, Rabbi Osai? The actual actions. The mincha is being prepared as a machavas, is being prepared as a machavas. So the fact that the Kohen had erroneous das for a marcheshes, says Reb Shimon, is irrelevant. We don't care about the das. Why? Because the das ultimately is eclipsed by the actions. Bosa, you hear this incredible Mosur? Yes, it's amazing. Mamash, how lucky we are to begin this on Rosh Chodesh Elul. What's the Mosur, Bosa? What's the Mosur? It's not so important what you think. It's a lot more important what you do. Reb Shimon says, I don't care what the Kohen's thinking. What I care is what the Kohen's doing. So therefore, again, there is a minchas machavos. He should have in mind when he does the kemitza that it should be from machavos also. But if instead he has in mind from Archashas, Reb Shimon says, I don't care. I don't care why. Because it's clear from his actions
that he is preparing ultimately again a minchas machvos. And therefore, again, as we're going through Shimon's his idea is ma'aseh mochichen ala. Its actions ultimately testify to the identity and the nature of the carbon being offered. Therefore, again, even erroneous das by coins of us say, again, incredible yisod in life. Don't worry so much about what you think. Focus so much more on what you do. The good thoughts will come afterwards. The good machshavas, the good comments will come afterwards. We are an actional people, an actional religion. He goes on. We're going to get into all this. I'm not going to explain this type of menachos now because it's not relevant for our discussion. But if he was offering up a minchas chareva, but the coin has the wrong das and he does the kamitz l'shumbalula. It is clear that what? The way it's being prepared is that it's a minchas chareva. But I will say, this logic of Rabbi Shimon only works by menachos. Bless you. Why? Only works by menachos. Why? Why? Because I will say, it's so exciting. Each type of mincha is prepared differently. That doesn't work by animal sacrifices. About zvachim enokin, shchita achas lekulon, zricha achas lekulon, kabbalah achas lekulon. Now, what's about animal sacrifices? There's one type of shchita, there's one type of zrika, there's one type of kabbalah. Now, the truth is, we're going to discuss this. There are different types of zrika, and we're going to discuss this. There's lamala michota zrika, lamak michota zrika. But what Shimon is saying is, at the end of the day, you'll excuse me, zrika, right? Meaning, there are nuanced differences, but the maisa is the same. We're going to get into this more. So we'll say, this is really like shaking, right? An earth shaking, whatever. It's incredible, right? It's incredible. I was like, because what's the idea? Rav Shimon is saying, and now understand this is diametrically opposed to the Mishnah. The Mishnah understands a mincha in the context of regular karbanos. So we have a general principle in karbanos that, again, aside from certain types of offerings, if you do a karban shelo lishma, the karban is an effective karban, doesn't count towards the owner's obligation. That's karbanos 101. Rav Shimon says, no. That's a din in animal sacrifices, not a din in minachos. Because by a mincha, the way it is prepared, ultimately, is a testament to the identity, the nature, and the title of the karban. Therefore, even if the kohen is mishana his das, even if the kohen ultimately has wrong intent, that does not compromise the karban. Therefore, Shimon holds that will say every single type of mincha, even if done shelo lishman, is going to be kasher. Why? Ma'aseh mochichen Allah, because its manner of preparation ultimately shows us indeed what type of mincha it is. Incredible. Says the Gemara, Hanicha Rabashi Nebo, say, this is actually, I don't remember like seeing Gemara like this. This is going to be a very strangely structured Gemara. What's going to happen over here is as follows. At the end of Amud Beis, we're going to see, there is a braisa where Reb Shimon contradicts himself. Reb Shimon seems to indicate that if you are mishana by a mincha, it does in fact compromise the mincha's effectiveness vis-a-vis its owner. We're not going to see that now. The Gemara, and we'll say there's a whole bunch of opinions as to how to reconcile this statement of Reb Shimon, the two brises of Reb Shimon. What the Gemara now is doing, we'll say, is essentially telling us the manners of reconciliation between the two brises, even before it introduces us to the brise itself. So watch this. Hanichal Ravashi. So this makes sense according to Ravashi. Now where did Ravashi come from? The Amar kan bekomets machvas l'shomar cheshes, kan bekomets minchas machvas l'shom minchas machesh. Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's Rashi right across. Hanichal Ravashi. Now watch this. The mitaritz the kamon, because Ravashi is going to answer up later on. Kiraminim de Rav Shimon daran beduchta achrisim masnisin. At the Rabbi Shimon Dach, we're going to see that there's going to be another brisa of Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon comes along and says that a mincha that is offered up shelo lishman is a kasher mincha, but doesn't work for the owners. So Rav Ashi reconciles the two brisos as saying the following. Rav Ashi, when does Rav Shimon say that a mincha that is offered up shelo lishman works even for the owners? But Omer Harini komitz machavas l'shem archeshes, where the Kohen says, I am hereby taking a komets of mincha, a komets of machvas, l'shem archeshes. They're both saying, now in that case, what's missing? The kevan de lo idkar shmei de mincha. There is no mention of mincha. So the Kohen essentially is making a nonsensical statement. El shma de mana, divrei ruach ba'amaninu. Vat kam Reb Shimon ba'alma, dilo alu kegon di itker shma de mincha. So we'll say, watch this. So Rav Ashi reconciles the two brises of Shimon as saying, when the Kohen says mincha, machavas l'shem archeshes, but he doesn't mention anything to do with the mincha, so such a statement is irrelevant. That's Rav Shimon says that halacha l'maisa, the mincha works not only as a karban, but ultimately for the sake of the owner. Masha'inkin, the next brisa that says that if offered up shalosh shema doesn't work for the sake of the owner, that's where he mentions mincha. Masnisin mincha l'shum minchahi. You'd have to say that ultimately, again, the case of the Mishnah Rabbosai is talking about what kind of case, where the Mishnah said that a carbon that is offered up, a mincha that is offered up, shol v'shman, does not work for the sake of the owner. You'd have to say that's a case where the Kohen explicitly utters the word mincha. However, el rabba, the rabba, ma'ikel neimar, Rabbosai, according to rabba and to rabba, what is there to say? Now rabba and rabba, understand the contradiction of Rav Shimon in a different way. The chitema, the kamishani rabba, kan bishinui kodesh, kan bishinui bailin. Rabbi will say, the way Rabba wants to understand the reconciliation is as follows. Rabba holds, Rabbi will say, that according to Rav Shimon, when you have a shinui kodesh, which means, when you offer up a mincha for the wrong type of mincha, Rav Shimon says the mincha is kosher, and it satisfies the obligation of the owner. However, if you have a shinui bailin, which means what, Rabbi will say, the Kohen offers up the mincha for the right type of mincha, but what? For the wrong person. That's where even Reb Shimon will agree that the mincha is a valid offering, but it does not count to satisfy the obligation of the owner. Here's the problem. So the Mishnah is not talking about a case of shinui bailim. The mincha is explicitly talking about a case of shinui kodesh. Diktani, keitzad l'shman v'shelo l'shman. L'shum minchas choti, l'shum minchas nedava. So I'll say ultimately again, the Mishnah, when it talks about a case, when it's talking about a case of l'shman and shlo l'shman, so it's not talking about a case, it's talking about a case of shinui kodesh, not a case of shinui bailim. So how do you reconcile the Mishnah? V'nami kid kamishani rava. Maybe you'll say ultimately again, we'll use the reconciliation of rava. What did rava say? Kan bekomets mincha l'shum mincha, kan bekomets mincha l'shum zavach. Oh, but we'll say, maybe when does Rabbi Shimon say that a mincha, even if offered up shelo l'shman, works, even for the owner, that's when the kometz is done l'shem mincha, just the wrong mincha. When does Rabbi Shimon say that ultimately, again, the mincha will not be valid for the owner? That's when the kometz was done, not l'shem mincha, but what? L'shem zavach, for a different type of carbon, not just like for an animal offering. Hamas nisin mincha l'shem mincha. Rabbi say, here's the problem. The Mishnah is talking about a case, Rabbi say, where the mincha was offered up l'shem mincha. Diktani shelo l'shman u'lishman l'shem minchas nedav l'shem minchas chote. Elo l'rabba l'rava mechavarta masnisim d'lo k'reb Shimon. The other Rabbi say that according to Rabba and Rava, the Mishnah we just reflected ultimately does not reflect the view of Reb Shimon. So both say, so okay. So now let's get back on track for just a moment. So remember again, we're looping back now to Reb Shimon. So we have the Mishnah. Quick, three simple points. Really two simple ones that'll become three, that'll later on become four, that becomes six by tomorrow. He'll say, but the idea is as follows. Right? What does the Mishnah teach me? The Mishnah teaches me that halacha l'maisa, if a mincha is offered up, shelo l'shman, what's the halacha? Kasher, but? Lo'alu l'shem bailim. Doesn't count as the owner's obligation. Gemara introduced me to the position of Rav Shimon. What did Rav Shimon say? If offered up, shelo l'shman, I'll say, it's kasher, what? For everything. It's a kasher offering and it works for the sake of the owner. Now we jumped ahead of ourselves and now we're going to get back on track. Now the Mishnah says, V'rami Reb Shimon Reb Shimon. The truth is, Reb Shimon is going to contradict himself. Because what did Reb Shimon say? Here we go. Reb Shimon is an amazing braisa. To sign Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says, Kodesh Kadashim, Reb Shimon is actually quoting the Pasuk. Kodesh Kadashim he. Kachatos uke'asham. Well, I'll say the pasuk itself, if you look at Rashi actually, it's the last Rashi, second to last short line of Rashi. But mincha ksiv, Rabbi say, this pasuk that Rabbi Shimon is quoting is written by the carbon mincha. What does the pasuk say? Kodesh kadoshimi, b'mincha ksiv, v'karelei chatos v'asham. So we'll say, now watch this. The pasuk, when talking about mincha, says that mincha is a kodesh kadoshim, kechatos u'ke'asham. It's like a chatos, like an asham. So we'll say, this is actually quite intriguing. So the mincha is kodesh kadashim, it's holy, and it's like a chatos and an asham. How is a mincha like a chatos and an asham? Watch this. Yeshmen ke chatos, yeshmen ke asham. We'll say, there are certain minchos that are like a chatos, and certain menachos that are like an asham. How so? Minchas chote harehi kechatos. A minchas chote, Rabbosai, which is a mincha that is brought as a sin offering, is just like a chatos. Namely what? Lefichach, kamsa shalo lishma. Therefore, Rabbosai, if you did the kamitsa shalo lishma, psula kechatos. Now, remember again, this is back to our Zvachim days. We open up the first Mishnah Zvachim in the same way. Right? Kol HaZvachim, Shenech Shetan Shalol Lishma. So we'll say any carbon that was offered up Shalol Lishma, the carbon works, but it doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation. There was an exception to that rule. What's the exception to that rule? Chatos. They will say if you offer up a Chatos Shalol Lishma, the halacha is the Chatos does not work. The Chatos does not work. So therefore, the Gemara suggests that the carbon mincha is Kechatos Ka'asham. Sometimes a mincha is like a mincha, sometimes a mincha is like a chatos, sometimes a mincha is like an asham. Therefore, the Gemara says like this: if you offer up a mincha schote, right? If you offer up a sin offering for the mincha, it is like a chatos. Just like a chatos shechta shalom lishman is not good, so too a mincha schote. If the kamitza was done shalom lishman, it is possible like a chatos. Minchas nedava harei ka asham. A voluntary mincha rabosa is like an asham. How so? Lefichach kamsa shalom lishman. Therefore, again, if the kamitza was done, shalom lishman, if the kamitza was done, shalom lishman, kshera, ultimately, again, the carbon is kosher. Uke asham. And furthermore, it's like an asham. In what sense? Ma asham kosher ve'ino meratzeh. We'll say, just like an asham, if offered up shalom lishman, the carbon is kosher, but what? Does not satisfy the obligation of the owner. Af minchas nedave kshera ve'ino meratzeh. So too, we'll say, the minchas nedave is kosher, but it also does not affect atonement for the owner. So you see what we have over here? A glaring contradiction in Rabbi Shimon. In Brightson number 1, Rabbi Shimon said that what? If a mincha, all menachos that are offered up, all menachos that are offered up, shalom v'shman, not only is the mincha kosher, but it satisfies the owner's obligation. And now in Brightson number 2, Rabbi Shimon is saying that what? That if you have a minchas chatos that is offered up, shalom v'shman, what's the halacha? The halacha is that it is possible. Not only that, but if you offer up a regular mincha shalom lishman, the mincha is good, but what? It does not satisfy the owner's obligation. So Rabbi say, polar opposite versions of Rabbi Shimon's opinion. How do we reconcile? Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Lokashi, it's not a contradiction. Kan bishinui kodesh, kan bishinui bailim. So Rabbi say, Rabbi comes along and says, it's not a contradiction. In the first braisa, Rav Shimon says, Shinui mincha is still kosher, and if it's all levailim, that's where what? It's called the Shinui Bakodesh, which Rav Shimon means that's the case of where you're offering up a mincha, but you're offering it up for the sake of the wrong mincha. See, if it's just a question of offering it up for the wrong mincha, Rav Shimon will say that what? The mincha is kosher, and it satisfies the owner's obligation. Why does he say that? Oh, because ma'aseha mochichin aleha. Because the actions, the way you're preparing the mincha, ultimately is the testament to the type of mincha it is. The second braisa, where Rabbi Shimon says that if a mincha is offered up shalom v'shma, the mincha is not good. Rabbi say that's a case of what? Shinui bailim. That's where you're offering it up for the wrong owner. If you're offering it up for the wrong owner, then Rabbi Shimon will say that halacha lemaisa, the mincha is not good. When I say it's not good, if it's a mincha schote, it's totally possible. And if it's a minchas nedava, it's kasher but lo olu lebailim. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says, one second. Michti, machshava de pasal, rachmana, hakishihi. Abaye says as follows. This idea that machshava can invalidate the carbon, it's based on a hekesh, right? It's based on the comparison, ultimately, again, between mincha and chatas and asham. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. It's the first white line in Rashi. Michti machshav debazu rachmanav mincha ekeshi, di iskish rachmanav mincha lezvachim. Because remember, again, the Torah compares mincha to zvachim. We'll say that's the part we just quoted before. Kodesh kadoshemi kachatas v'chasham. Kedichsiv kodesh kadoshemi kachatas kasham. Mazvachim pasla b'machshava kedichsiv ha-makri v'oso. Lechash ach mincha nami. Mali shinui kodesh, mali shinui bayon. So we'll say, the Gemara says like this. We know the idea that mincha invalidates by, that machshav invalidates by a mincha based on the comparison to chatas and asham. So mali shinui kodesh, mali shinui bailin. What does it make a difference? We'll say if your shinui and das was about shinui kodesh or shinui bailin. Either way, the mincha should be possible. To which Rabbi Shimon will respond, Amar lei, ma'aseh mochichin. So what's the idea over here is that this idea of Ma'aseh Mochich and the Kamar of Shimon Svarihi, that we'll say ultimately again this idea that when it comes to Mincha, Ma'aseh Mochich, ultimately again the way you prepare the Mincha is the ultimate testament to the identity of the Mincha. This is a Svara of Reb Shimon. Because Reb Shimon holds Reb Shimon Darash Taima Dikra. Ultimately, again, Reb Shimon holds Rabbi Say that we could darshan time of dikra, that we could when coming to Mitzvah, Rabbi Say, we're going to discuss this in greater depth later on. But Reb Shimon holds that halacha lemaisa, when trying to understand a particular mitzvah, you could look for the reason over here. Why should mincha be different than any other type of karban? Because Rabbi Say mincha is different. Why? Because the manner in which you perform or which you prepare the mincha varies from mincha to mincha. Therefore, one can make the cogent argument that even if the kohen had the wrong das, we don't care about the das. As long as the mincha was prepared the way the mincha is supposed to be prepared, Reb Shimon will say that halacha lemaisa, again, the mincha will be valid. Delo minkara, but ultimately again, right, but ultimately again, where it's not recognizable, so pasa rachmano. Machshava de minkara, lo pasa rachmano. So I should say it differently. Machshava de lo minkara, pasa rachmano. Machshava de minkara, lo pasa rachmano. So we'll say ultimately a case in a situation where what we call machshava de lo minkara, pasa rachmano, machshava de minkara, lo pasa rachmano. So in a case ultimately again, where the shinui is something recognizable, that's where the Torah will invalidate the mincha. But if the shinui is unrecognizable, the Torah will not invalidate the mincha. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Pasu Rachmana, Elamiyata. But if that's the case, Olas Ta'ov. Rabbi Pasu, you know what? Actually, yeah, let's do one more case and then we'll stop for today. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. That according to Rabbi Shimon, where the mistake or where the Shinui is recognizable, ultimately, again, that shouldn't validate the Karban. But where the Shinui is unrecognizable, the carbon should not become invalidated. To which the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Elamei Ata, Olas Ha'ov Shemolka Lemala Mishum Chata Sa'ov Tirtzeh. But if you have the following case, an Olas Ha'ov, right, the bird Ola, that Malika was done Lemala. Now, we'll say, remember again, the halach is, if you look at Rashi, Olas Ha'ov, it's about six lines up from the bottom, Nasis Lemala Michota Sikra. We'll say, the blood of an Olas Ha'ov is applied above the red line of the Mizbeach. So now watch this. Let's say you took the blood of the Olas Ha'ov and you did the Malika, right, the blood application above the Chotas Sikra, but you did it Mishum Chatasov, but you had in mind to do Chatas. Now for Chatas, what's Talacha? You do it below the line. So now what happened over here? You were supposed to do an Ola, but you had in mind the wrong machshava. So what should be the halacha? Tirtza. The carbon should work. Rabbi, why should the carbon work? Because at the end of the day, where did you apply the blood? Above the line. In accordance with the true identity of the carbon, which is an ola. So here's a case of where what? My machshava was wrong, but the ma'aseh is absolutely correct. The carbon should therefore be good. Tirtza. Ma'aseh mochichin aleha de ola sa'ofi. Because we'll say, here's an example of where the actions clearly show that it's an ola. Because we'll say, if it was a chata sa'of, then what? Then the mice, again, the blood would be applied below the red line. Atu chata sa'of milasa. So we'll say, ultimately, again, you're trying to say that there is no case of chata sa'of where the blood is applied above the red line. Hamer mar, malika b'chomaka b'mizbeach k'shera. Let's see, after we learned that what? That bidi eved, malika b'chomakom is k'shera. We'll say that at the end of the day, even though there is a distinction between chatas and ola, where the blood application, where the malika is done, bidi eved, wherever it's done, is kasher. So we'll say, so understand, we're going to stop over here for today, we're going to do a little bit of Tomer Devorah together, but understand what we're ending off with over here. The way we reconcile, we have the Mishnah, and then we have a contradiction between the positions of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon in Braisa number one seems to say that what? That halacha lemaisa, even if an ola done, with the wrong mashavas, the carbon itself is kosher, and it is ola l'shem bailin. In Braisa number two, Rabbi Shimon says that if the chatos was done for the wrong mashavas, then what? Then the mincha was done for the wrong mashavas, the mincha is a valid karban, but it does not go ahead and count towards the owners. And in the case of chatos or minchas kenos, it won't count for anything. What I will say, now, the way we're trying to reconcile this is as follows. Clearly in Bryson 1, Rabbi Shimon is trying to teach us is as follows. That halacha lemaisa, wherever ma'aseha mochichen aleha, wherever the actions tell you clearly what type of karban it is, then what? The machshava to a certain degree is irrelevant. Now when I say, I don't want you to think irrelevant that it doesn't matter. It matters, but what it means for our purposes is that what? It won't compromise the karban. It won't compromise the karban. Now if that is true, so we'll say, so what we're saying over here according to Rabbi Shimon is that where again, the machshava, the erroneous machshava is not really visible in the Maisa, then ultimately again the Maisa will be valid. If the erroneous Machshava is visible in the Maisa, then the Maisa will be invalid. So we saw this by Ola Sa'ov, and we're going to continue a little bit to give some more examples. Rabbi Sa'i, but essentially you understand what the underlying tension over here is? The underlying tension is the tension between what you think and what you do. Which Rabbi Sa'i, for most of us, is an underlying tension each and every day. In my heart and in my mind, I have a whole series of things that I think and that I know are right. The problem, of course, becomes when what? When my actions paint a dramatically different picture. So the shaila is, in general, how do you reconcile, again, one type of kavana with another type of asiya? So Meretz Hashem, again, we're going to continue with this reconciliation. The Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, we'll stop over here for today, and we're going to begin just for a few moments, because I know the hour is late, a little bit of Tomer Devorah.